Turn in your Holy Bible this morning to the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read at least 10 verses from this chapter, the first 10 verses. I want us this morning to discover the preciousness of Christ. In the Apostle Peter's letters, in 1 Peter and in 2 Peter, we have the word precious used about 7 times. He begins to tell us in verse 7 of chapter 1 that the trying of our faith is very precious. It's more precious than gold or silver. The testing and trying of our faith is precious. The trying of a Christian's faith is very precious. He tells us in verse 19 of that same chapter that we're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious. The third place we find the word precious, we find in chapter 2 and verse 4 that we're going to read in just a few moments. How that He is chosen of God. Jesus Christ is chosen of God, which makes Him very precious. And of course, as we look in verse 6 of the second chapter of 1 Peter, we're going to find that what has been laid in Zion is very precious, that it was laid by God in Zion. The chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, was laid in Zion. And it is extremely and extraordinarily precious. When we get into the second Epistle of Peter in verse 1, we have a common, united preciousness. We have in that particular verse a like preciousness. All of us experience the preciousness alike. And the apostle begins his letter by addressing that in his opening remarks. And then in verse 4 of the first chapter of 2 Peter, he says, promises of God are most precious, aren't they? The promises of God. We have these wonderful promises of God. I want us to discover and look into the preciousness of Christ. Now, there are 7, like I said, words or statements in the particular epistles of Peter that address how precious He is. And all of these things could be addressed, but I want us to look just briefly at one in particular found in our reading lesson from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, of whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture. Now he quotes the 28th chapter of Isaiah and the 118th Psalm in this one particular verse, kind of combines them together, unites these two verses of Scripture from the Old Testament. He says it's just basically contained in Scripture that it says, "Behold, I lay in Zion." Let me pause here just for a minute. Zion in the New Testament becomes synonymous with the covenant of grace, the establishing of the covenant of grace. Zion. He lays in Zion, in the covenant of grace, Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. I want you to notice verse 7. That's going to be our text for this morning. Unto you that believe, He is precious. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's reading 10 verses from 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's notice again verse 7. As we discover the preciousness of Jesus Christ. This statement is an emphatic statement, where he says, those of you that believe, he's precious. It's not a question. It's not a supposition. It is stating a fact. It is an emphatic statement that people who have genuine saving faith, to those people who have been saved by faith, those that have experienced his grace, they hold Jesus most precious. Now, do we do that? Do we do that in our personal life? Do we display and show the world that Jesus Christ is precious? Jesus has done a great work in our lives. He has given us many things. He is the most important thing to those who have believed. Without him, we have nothing. With him, we have everything. And so Jesus is precious. I believe those that are acquainted with him, they hold him most precious. Most precious. We have trusted in him. We have put our hope in him. Our hope of this life and the next. I mean, we've leaned heavily into Jesus Christ. Our hope for all of time and eternity is entrusted in him. And thus he is our most precious thing in life. Now, those that have been saved, we need to show the world. We need to showcase that he is precious. We need to validate to the world. We need to put on display before all the world, authenticate, verify to the world that he is the most precious thing on the face of the earth. He is the most precious thing in life. There is nothing any more important or more precious than Jesus Christ. But folks, it takes more than just words. There has to be a life to back it up. There has to be a life that confirms or proves or validates that Jesus Christ is most precious. Now, I'm convinced that this is the most weighty testimony there is. The most weighty testimony there is. I think of those old songs that we used to sing. We sang an old one this morning. Does anybody remember the old song, "He Grows More Precious to Me"? He grows more precious to me. I mean, he's more precious to me now than when I first believed. He's more precious to me now than he was when I first got saved. And I guess as you get older, you know, you start thinking more about death and you have more aches and pains and get to thinking about eternity and you get to thinking about those that have gone on before us and awaiting us as we sung the song about in the sweet by and by. You get to thinking about that and Jesus being there and the saints of God being there. There being no more pain or sorrow or death. Amen? And that place where Jesus is grows more precious. Is Jesus precious to you? I was reading a few sermons back in the 19th century and there are several sermons preached from this text. And one old preacher said that this is a litmus test. This is what really validates whether or not a person is a believer, a saved believer, one who has saving faith in Jesus Christ. He said, really, you can throw away the doctrines. He said, you can throw, well, not throw them away, but he says, you can have people who maybe be a little off in their doctrines and still be saved. And so he says, this becomes the test of whether or not a person is really a believer. One who is really trusting in Jesus, who has exercised saving faith. He says, those who are believers, they hold Jesus most precious. Most precious. Now, I know there's a lot of things that we look at in a person's life, but more is caught than taught. Amen? There has to be more than just words. There has to be actions associated to validate, to corroborate, to affirm, to authenticate that Jesus Christ is precious to us. I've been blessed to grow up in a Baptist home where people really love the Lord. You know, I've had the privilege of being associated with people in that really, I mean, Jesus was everything to them. Everything. The world didn't matter. I mean, Christ mattered to them. His calls mattered to them. His work mattered to them. His church mattered to them. And that they held Christ most precious. I had people in my life. And there are those of you who have people in your life that validate. And I believe that is the most important testimony that can be given. They have not only told you, they have shown you that Jesus Christ is precious. And it should persuade you to come to Jesus. Amen? I know we put a lot of confidence in preachers and we put a lot of confidence in the way the gospel is presented. But I'll tell you, the testimony lived out in the saints of God is a powerful testimony that Jesus Christ is the Savior and Redeemer of the world. I get it. You know, if somebody's testimony isn't really borne out in the way they live, if it wears out, you know, they say they're saved, but they start living for the world. If they apostatize, if they change their mind or something like that, you know, and they fall by the wayside, I realize that can hinder people from coming to the Lord. But you've not experienced that. You have experienced in your life a faithful witness of people who hold Jesus most precious. Years and years and years of evidence. And I believe it's one of the most weighty testimonies there is. A life lived in service to the Lord. Showing the world that Jesus is everything. Now, let's talk about this just for a few moments. Let's look at this verse in verse 7. And I want us to begin by considering how Christ is precious. How Christ is precious to His people. The word precious, the meaning of it, has reference to something of great worth, something of great value. We understand what precious means. Here in this particular verse, it's used as a noun rather than an adjective. And that's very important, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But the reason that it's used as a noun is to put emphasis on the word precious, to make it preciousness. Now, the American Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, they translate this preciousness. Preciousness. And the way they translate it is that they say, those of you who have believed hold Him as preciousness. He is preciousness. Now, some of the other translations translate it differently. The ESV translates it honor. There are other translations that translate this word honor. It's hatema is the word. But I understand something being precious. My grandchildren are precious to me. You know what that means? If they needed something, I would do anything in my power to provide it. They're precious. Precious. They're of great value. They're very important. This translation used by ESV and some of the other translations with regard to honor, I get that. It's difficult. In other words, the Greek construction of this particular sentence is difficult to translate. One of the reasons there's differences is because of the complication and the difficulty associated with the Greek construction. It being a noun rather than an adjective. Now, I believe the Revised Standard Version, the New American Standard, kind of put it more plainly to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, in that Christ Jesus is the ultimate preciousness. There's nothing any more precious. And it's being used in a way that tells us that the essence and the substance of anything in life that we would term precious, Christ is preciousness. Now, I understand the word honor. You know, to those of you who believe, you know, we get some honor from being associated with Jesus Christ, don't we? We get a lot of honor being associated with Jesus Christ. It's an honor to serve the Lord, isn't it? It's an honor to be part of His church. It's an honor to be affiliated with His gospel. It is an honor to have the Holy Spirit in us. It's an honor to be experiencing the blessings of God. It's an honor to understand the interpretation of Scripture. There are many honors that we get just by association. Now, there was a man one time said that he had talked to the king, and it was a great honor. He had a conversation with the king. It was a great honor. And he was going around telling everybody, all of his friends, I spoke with the king today. What he failed to tell everybody is that the king told him to get out of the way. But it was a great honor to hear this king speak. It reminds me of those three boys that were young boys that were bragging on their dad, you know. And one boy said, my dad knows the mayor, talks with him regularly. And a second boy said, my dad knows the governor and talks to him regularly. And the third boy says, that's nothing. My dad knows God. Jehovah God, the creator of the heavens and the universe. The world and all things therein. Honor by association. Honor by affiliation. Just being connected with the things of Jesus Christ is a great honor. But I believe he's telling us in this particular passage that Jesus is preciousness itself. The very essence and substance of preciousness. In other words, there's nothing that can parallel it. It's unparalleled. There's nothing that can surpass it. It's unsurpassing. Nothing can rival it in life any more precious than knowing Christ, than experiencing Jesus. It soars beyond all others. It soars beyond all others in comparison and degree. It's a blissful preciousness. Now, we're supposed to show the world that Jesus is the most precious thing in life. Every believer, every true believer, shows the world, showcases to the world that Jesus is the most important and the most precious thing in life. Excelling and exceeding all others. All other things in life. I guess my question is, are we showing the world that by how we live? Now, we lean on Him daily, don't we? We sure do. And we have committed our all to Him. And I believe everything that we've committed to Him, He's able to keep until that day, right? How do we show the world that He is precious? The martyrs did that, didn't they? I mean, they gave up life. They gave up property. They gave up liberty. Many of them were put on stretchers. Some of them were put upon crosses. Some of them were burned at the stakes. And they showed the world there's nothing any more precious than Jesus Christ. And if the challenge were to put before this generation, apostasy, denying Him, denouncing that you know Christ, or living, I just wonder which we would choose. But they showed that there's nothing any more precious than Jesus Christ. They love not their lives even unto death. Amen? And precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. Precious are those who die the martyr's death before the Lord. They're precious to Him because they hold Jesus most precious. I thought about the missionaries that went out. I mean, they forsook all to go to these places, many places that were third world countries back in the 1800s, 1700s. I mean, they were disease-ridden countries. They realized they probably wouldn't come home. They'd probably die there. They gave it all up. Went into a diseased, infested country for one reason: to share the good news about Jesus Christ. That there's nothing any more precious than Jesus. You know, it seems like we have fewer and fewer missionaries today that would make that kind of sacrifice. Let me ask you something. Could we part with everything to show the world that He is preciousness? The very essence of preciousness. Today, we still need to forsake popularity. And there are some friends. Listen to me, young people. There are times in your life where it's more important to be a Christian than to have friends with this world. There are some things we just can't do because we hold Jesus most precious. Amen? Sometimes our friendships must be sacrificed because Jesus is more precious to us than having some friend of the world. Sometimes we have to cut off association. Sometimes we have to sacrifice time and money to show the world that Jesus Christ is preciousness. Paul, the apostle, considered all the things of his life dung, manure, in comparison to having and understanding and knowing Jesus Christ. Winning Christ, being found in Him, all of that is more important. And in comparison, he compared knowing that, having Christ, all else being rubbish. Do you ever feel like that He's done so much for you, you can never do enough to pay Him back? Do you ever feel like that you're just not doing enough for Jesus? That's one of the signs. That's an indication that He's precious to you. That, you know, as you labor for the Lord, you just seem like you can't do enough for the Lord. You can't give enough. You can't do enough for the Lord. Now, I understand there are times in our life we grow weary with the work. Weary with the work, but we don't grow weary of the work. Amen? This thing's bigger than us. And though we have times when we're discouraged, Christ Jesus is preciousness to us. There's nothing more important than the things of God. Particularly, and more importantly, there's nothing more important than Christ Himself. I believe we need to show the world, put on display, that He is precious to us, that we're willing to lay it all at His feet. Now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you'll have one of those precious tests of your faith. You will. The Lord will bring you to a place and He'll prove you and test you to see if you're really willing to lay it all at His feet. You ever had one of those tests? Man, that's a growing experience, isn't it? As my professor used to say, a learning experience. Man, you learn from that, don't you? We wish that we could do more, give more. That's our desire. My question is, does the world doubt your affection? Does the world doubt that you love Jesus more than everything else of this world? Are you willing to do something fresh to prove to the people around you that He is the ultimate preciousness? Are you willing? One of the ways the scoffers used to be convinced was by believers displaying that there was nothing more important, nothing more precious than Christ. What does it mean? I mean, what does it really mean to be precious? Well, let's break it down into three areas. First of all, let's break it down into something that is exceptional. There's three things. Something that is exceptional. It must be rare in order for it to be preciousness. Secondly, it must be valuable. It must have some kind of intrinsic value of its own in order to be preciousness. And thirdly, it must be substantial. In other words, it must possess useful and important properties. So these three things would qualify something for being the ultimate precious thing, or preciousness, as the American Standard Version translates it. Is Jesus rare? Is he exceptional? Folks, listen to me. He is absolutely unique. There's no one like him. There never has been and there never will be. He is the only begotten of the Father. Yes. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. When you start looking at the unity of his divinity and his humanity, he is exceptional. There's none like him. Yes, he's God and man combining two natures into one person. I can't explain that, but there's no one else like that. He is the divine one, the holy man, the holy child, Jesus Christ. Not only is he unique in that way, but you think about how those things about his eternal past. Folks, if he never took one step toward the cross to save us, he is preciousness. Folks, all things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. Folks, we get our being from him. In him we live and move and have our being, praise God. It is through Jesus Christ that we exist, that we breathe, and that we're here. This world was made by him, and he is the owner. Owns it all. Even the cattle on a thousand hill. Even what the birds sing. He owns it. Yes, he owns it. The essence of who he is makes him precious. He is the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This is the way it was in the beginning. And the way it will always be. In him was life. And that life is our life. Yes, he is precious. He is the foundation that no other man could lay than what was laid by Christ Jesus. He is unique and he is rare in that through him we have life, we have eternal life, and we have salvation. He is the foundation, folks. He is the chief cornerstone. So he's very rare. He's the only mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Amen? There's no other way to the holy heavenly Father but through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only Savior, the only Redeemer. He's the only way you can have eternal life. You need Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There's one name, and that name is Jesus. There's one person. That person is Jesus. Listen, he is uniquely rare. None like him. So, he's exceptionally rare. He's also intrinsically valuable. Who could estimate the worth of Jesus Christ? One touch from him is worth everything in this universe. I give you a proof text. What shall it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? One touch.
from Him.
Now, folks, we know that He is of great value to this world. We know that He owns it all. We know that He's God over all. We know that the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. Amen? I can't explain that either, but I believe it from the depths of my soul. He is the source of all life. He's head of the church. What a blessing to have Jesus Christ as our husband. Oh yeah, He's the husband to the church. He's the bridegroom, amen? He's a friend to the believer. He's our friend. Isn't that wonderful? He's the redeemer to the sinner. He's everything for every want and every need. How do you put any value on that? How do you do that? He's incomparable, immeasurable, inconceivably precious because of His value. Okay? So there's three things we're looking at in order for Him not to just be precious, but be preciousness. Preciousness. He has to be unique, uniquely rare, and He is. He has to be intrinsically valuable. Oh, and He is. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him today. Amen? And thirdly, He has to be substantially useful. Useful. There has to be some useful qualities or characteristics. Folks, listen to me. Jesus Christ, He's eyes to the blind man. He's hearing to the deaf. He's legs to those who are lame. He's feet to the lame. I believe He's healing to the sick. Amen? Jesus Christ, He's joy to those of us who mourn. He's our life when we go through death. When we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we have nothing to fear because why? He is with us. Yeah. I mean, just think of His life. How it gives life to us. In these verses, it talks about Him being the living stone. And we lay up against that. And there's life transmitted to us. Right? Life is transmitted to us. He is a living stone. And we lay up against Him and we get life. And that life that the believer gets, we are built up as a church into a place where the Holy Spirit of God comes and we become the habitation of God. Isn't that cool? Oh, man. And let me just say, without Christ as our head, without life coming from the chief cornerstone and being in the hearts and lives of true believers, we are without feeling and we are dead. No feeling, we're dead. I don't want to be part of a dead church. Do you? I want to be part of a church that's up against the chief cornerstone and getting life. He is useful to us. I mean, just think about what the Lord does. Think about His offices. I mean, He is the priest of priests. He's the prophet of prophets. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is faithful to us. He's faithful to every one of us. He's not only a friend, but He is faithful to His friends. And we that believe in Him, we are His friends. We're not just servants, we are His friends. Just like the apostles. I mean, think about all the types and shadows of the Old Testament found in Scripture. He fulfills every one of them. He is our mercy seat. He is our Day of Atonement. He is our sin offering. He is our trespass offering. He is our peace offering. He is our wave offering. Jesus is all of it. All the types and shadows of the Old Testament, He fulfills. He satisfies those. Is He useful to you today? Isn't He alone the one set to remove our condemnation? Isn't He alone set to give us righteousness? Isn't He alone the one sent to give us forgiveness? Isn't He alone the one sent to give us eternal life? Well, let me close. I appreciate you listening to me today. I fear there are irregularities in showing this world that Christ Jesus is most precious. I fear there are irregularities in our discovery and our display of Him as preciousness, where Christ is more important than our own lives. Christ Jesus is more important than everything in our life. Is He more important than your job? Is He more important than your home? Is He more important than your family? Is He more important than your children? Is He more precious, I guess I should say, than everything else in life? This passage not only tells us that He is preciousness, but He's preciousness to those who exercise faith. Amen? To the genuine believer, Christ Jesus, this is an emphatic statement, is preciousness. Somewhere along the way, we've kind of lost that testimony that Christ is everything. You know, Jesus said, if we will put Him and His kingdom first, we won't have to worry about anything else. We have to make Him the most important part of our life. For those of you this morning, and the test is before you. Oh, you say you have faith, but He's not precious. Impossible. Amen? Those who exercise faith in Jesus Christ will find Jesus as the most important thing of their life. He is preciousness. And I hope that you discover that today. As we get a song and we start to sing a verse or two, I pray that you will come and heed the call of the gospel today. Find the blood of Jesus most precious. Find Christ Jesus precious to your soul. I hope that you'll exercise faith. You know, an ounce of faith is more important than a ton of learning. You know, you'll discover more of the preciousness of Christ through trusting Him than you'll find in all the theological seminaries of the world. Amen? Amen? I mean, you experience that He's... And He grows more precious. You know what I'm talking about? Go ahead and stand up. You know what I'm talking about? Him growing more precious? The different experiences that you have as a Christian. Have you ever felt like your ship was going down because of the storm and you see Jesus walking on the water? Huh? Has He ever calmed the sea of life for you? Has He helped you through some trial or trouble or pain? Has He been there, sticking closer than a friend, close as a brother? Do you know what I'm talking about? Those learning experiences in life display and show and teach that He is the most precious thing we can have? We need Him, amen? You need Him. And He'll never be discovered as precious. Listen to me. He'll never be discovered as precious to you trusting to the saving of your soul. Amen? And when you put your faith in Him and you trust in Him with all of your heart, He will become preciousness. The essence of all that is or all that will be, there's none any greater. Intrinsically, emphatically, He is the most precious thing there ever is or ever will be in life.